Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we learned already about the fruit of your Spirit. And now as we think just a bit about a few more of them, we ask you to use it, use the time in the Word and our time of enjoyment of this musical to allow your Spirit to change our lives. That's what we long for, Lord. To go from this place different people, allowing your Spirit to put these things into operation in our lives. Not just sing about them and enjoy them, but to do them by your power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Fruit is delicious food. One of life's greatest pleasures is biting into a golden, luscious peach, or drowning yourself in a sweet, juicy watermelon, or savoring the delectable flavor of a plum or a nectarine or an apricot or however you pronounce that word, or a handful of plump red cherries or a fresh ripe pineapple. Some of you have fruit trees in your yard. Pineapples don't grow on trees, but other things do. And just having that fruit and enjoying it, and it's coming on now, isn't it? Buds are coming out, and as the summer wears on, we'll be eating that fruit. And it just adds a touch of pleasure to living. Makes life a little more enjoyable. But you know, there's something that can add far more pleasure to life at your house than a peach or a plum. And because it is so enjoyable, maybe one reason God calls it fruit. It's a different kind of fruit than peaches and plum. It's spiritual fruit. It's called in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. It says in chapter 5, verse 22 of Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we've heard them all tonight already, but let's review them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now that's the way they're listed in the New American Standard Bible. I memorized them years ago in the King James, and it's hard to get those new words in my mind, but they're really, some of these changes are really for the better because they more accurately describe the word to us in some cases. The children in the musical began to see how delightful this fruit can be. You remember one of them said, "Wow, I think I'm starting to see what you mean by fruit." And the other one said, "Yeah, and I bet we could grow some of this kind of fruit at our house." Yeah, that is a good idea. I think you can. I think we can too. And the results are going to be unbelievably refreshing as we begin to grow this fruit at our house. Now we're not going to be able to taste every one of these nine pieces of fruit in this basket in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tonight. 9-point sermons don't go over too big after children's musicals. But we can sample a few of them tonight. Maybe two. Let's just take two of them, all right? And explore them just a little bit and see how much more pleasant life can be when we begin to allow the Spirit of God to grow this fruit at our house. Let's start with number 4, love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. That was Herbert the snail, you remember. What a beautiful fruit patience is. It's the ability to keep from getting irritable and angry when people provoke us. It's the ability to keep from getting even with them, getting back at them when they provoke us. Let's say one of you teenage girls got a note from your boyfriend, and your little brother grabs it, all right? And he runs away with it, saying, "Yeah, you can't get it." You know how little bratty brothers do, you know? What do you do with that? How do you handle that situation? "You little brat, come back here and give that thing to me this instant. Mom, make him give me that note." You know, and on it goes, right? "If you don't give that back to me, I'm going to go in your room and tear up your comic books." And that kind of reaction is impatience. That's getting angry and getting even. Impatience, the very opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. When you react that way, the other person just gets angry too, and you both begin to scream at each other and maybe even swing at each other. And then pretty soon mom begins to scream, and when dad comes home, she complains to him, and he begins to scream, and everybody's screaming at each other. And I'll tell you, it isn't much fun in the house when everybody's screaming at each other, right? Oh, you don't do that at your house, huh? Y'all look so pious tonight, just so pious. Sometimes the whole household gets tense for days at a time over incidents just such as that, and it isn't much fun at all. Things are usually a lot more fun when people are not angry with each other and they don't scream at each other. You know, if he quit bugging me, I wouldn't get so angry. Well, that's probably true. But unfortunately, we can't always control or dictate someone else's behavior. But we can decide our own behavior. We choose to get angry. Nobody makes us angry. We always say, "You make me mad," but nobody makes us get angry. They may do something that we use as an excuse to get angry, but it's still our choice. And when we're patient with people who wrong us, instead of getting angry and irritable and getting even, when we restrain ourselves from reacting with those kind of angry threats, eventually they stop bugging us. Usually they bug us because they're just trying to get attention. So if it doesn't get them the attention they want, they figure there's not much sense in wasting their time, so they don't bug us anymore. And beyond that, if we would give them some kind attention before they start bugging us, then they wouldn't have any need to start bugging us in the first place. That's another fruit of the Spirit, by the way. That's number 5, kindness. That's doing nice things for people for no reason at all, but just because the Lord Jesus, in the person of His Spirit within us, prompts us to do nice things for people, and we respond to Him instead of to our old sinful nature. And the two of them together, patience and kindness, help people keep on good terms with each other. And that makes home a much more enjoyable place to be. You see, if we let the Spirit of God grow the fruit of patience in our lives, it just makes home lots more fun. Now, I suspect some of you moms and dads are agreeing with me very enthusiastically right now. You're saying, "Boy, that's great. Now preach it. Give it to my kids," right? If only your kids would begin to grow in the fruit of patience, home would be such a pleasant place. But may I remind you that it would help the kids considerably. I mean considerably. If you would show them how to do it by your example, that would be a good thing to do. Teach them by example, not just by words, but by example. For instance, it would be good to remind them kindly and calmly to do their homework, kindly and calmly to do their chores, or to put their things away, or to limit the length of time they talk on the telephone, or to put your tools away when they're finished using them. Instead of communicating irritability and anger and exasperation. See, most of our kids come by their impatience naturally. It's in their genes. And they see it by example too often. If we want them to grow in the fruit of patience, then we're going to have to show them the way. But it's going to be worth it. How much more pleasant our homes are going to be when we do. So whenever you sense a feeling of irritability coming on, you're just getting a little bit upset with people around you for the way they're acting and the things they're doing, maybe it'd be good to pause for a moment and talk to the Lord about it and ask Him to begin to produce in your life, to grow in you, this beautiful fruit of patience and its sister, kindness, the two of them together. You'll find they taste good. They make life a lot more enjoyable. Well, let's look at one other piece of fruit in this basket. They're also attractive and delicious. It's difficult to pick one over the rest, but let's try. Let's look at number 7, the one called faithfulness. That's the way it's translated in the New American Standard instead of faith, and I think that's probably the meaning of the word, faithfulness. Now, this simply means being dependable, being reliable, being trustworthy. It's having a sense of responsibility. It's doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. Following through and keeping our word and doing what we're supposed to do. Now let's illustrate it. Let's take a teenage boy this time. You know, you're begging mom for permission to drive the car to school because there's a ball game after school on the other side of town and you want to go right from school to the ball game. Beside that, Mom doesn't need the car till 5 o'clock. She's got a committee meeting. But you promise you're going to have it home, and you plead with her. So finally she says, okay, you know, you can take the car to school, but you have it back in this driveway at 5 p.m. sharp. You understand? I understand. It'll be here. Don't you worry. Sure, Mom, you can count on me. But the game goes into extra innings. And after the game is over, there's that cute girl standing there that you've been trying to date for so long, and she's stranded. She needs a ride home. And if you don't jump at this chance, that other creep who's after her too is going to move in on you. And he's got his father's Ferrari, right? Now, you got the picture? It's 6 o'clock when you drive in the driveway. And Mom's standing there with her arms folded outside, looking like a top sergeant. Scowl on her face, fire in her eyes. And you're sure they can hear her screaming in the next county, you know? She's mad. She's missed the most important meeting of the year, and she was supposed to chair the meeting. You're not only stripped of your car keys for the month, but the house is tense for weeks. You can live without wheels. You deserve that. You really know you deserved it, but you can't stand the biting comments and the put-downs. You'd like to get away. Just get away from it all. Now, moms and dads need to administer their discipline and love. We don't always do that. We need to learn that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, even in discipline. We need to learn to be firm, but kind, to reject unacceptable behavior without making our kids feel like they personally are rejected. And I'm not excusing their impatience or unkindness. But I do think we need to remember that this unhappy scene would have never taken place had not the leading man in this story, or had the leading man in this story been faithful and kept his word and followed through on his promise and done what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it. He could have done that. It was his choice to make. He could have left the game and had the car home at 5 o'clock. It was his choice. To be unfaithful, to be untrustworthy, to be unreliable with the family car. He made the decision, as he probably had made in some other areas of family life too. Like his responsibility was to take the trash out the night before the trash men come. But invariably he forgets. He's supposed to come home by 10:30 on weeknights, but invariably he stretches it just a little bit. A few minutes, you know, maybe 5, 10, maybe he'll even go a little more, 20, 25. See how much he can get away with, pushes it to the limit. He's supposed to ask before he borrows any of his brother's clothes, but he usually waits till his brother's out of the house and he goes in his closet and takes what he wants. When his brother gets mad and yells at him, he says, "But you weren't here when I needed it." And he's got an excuse, always got an excuse. It's a pattern of life. And it keeps the whole household in turmoil. And it's not a very pleasant place to be when people are not faithful. And before you parents get too pious about this one, may I remind you that this behavior pattern is also taught by example. Dad is late for dinner, but he doesn't call to tell anybody. The family never knows whether he's going to be home or not. They don't know whether they can count him or not. And he always has an excuse for not calling and explaining, an excuse for irresponsibility. There are no excuses for irresponsibility. Not really. Her mom doesn't show up at school after she promised that she'd be there with the cookies for the party. She got talking to friends and just forgot. If we want our children to grow the fruit of faithfulness, then we're going to have to show them the way. When somebody suggests that maybe you're not carrying through and doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, the best thing to do would be not to try to make excuses or rationalize your behavior or defend yourself or deny it. The best thing to do would be to ask God to help you cultivate, to grow the fruit of faithfulness. It's going to make your whole household a whole lot happier. It'll run smoother. It'll be a more pleasant place to be. In other words, it will taste good. Fruit tastes good. And the fruit of the Spirit tastes best. Well, that's only two out of the nine. I would like to suggest that the other seven pieces of fruit in this basket will also add a great deal of pleasure to life at your house. And I think it would be a good idea to study them. Maybe study them together as a family. And think through what they mean and the practical application of them to our lives. We'll find that all nine pieces will be unbelievably refreshing. They're delicious. Fruit is delicious food. And this fruit of the Spirit is best of all. Now, you really can't grow one without the other. We often don't understand that, but they grow together. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that God produces, and when He's in control, He's in the process of ripening all that fruit. Now, I realize some of it is riper than others of it, and maybe you're stronger in some of these nine areas than you are in others, and that's normal. We grow in different areas at different speeds, but God wants to be producing all nine of these characteristics in us. All nine of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, how? How does He do it? We've talked about this so many times before. Let me just go through it very quickly. There first of all has to be a desire for it, a hunger after God and after righteousness. Then there has to be an acknowledgement that when we fail to do what God wants us to do, it's sin. And we confess that to Him. We admit to Him that it's sin. And then it's a matter of yielding our wills to Him and deciding, God, I want to do what You want me to do. Not do what I want to do. I want to decide to do what's right according to Your word. I want Your will to be done in my life. I want to please You. To yield yourself to God. And then beyond that, it's living in God's presence. Just all the time, living with a consciousness of God's presence. Filling your mind with the things of the Lord rather than the things of the world. That means by the music we listen to and by what we fill our minds with through the media and every other area of life. You aren't going to be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit, I guarantee you, if you keep feeding into your mind the garbage of the world. It won't happen. You've got to feed in the things of the Lord. And then the Spirit of God uses the Word of God and the things of Christ to begin producing in us His Spirit. And He'll do it. We don't do it. We have to step out by faith to obey, but that's where God meets us with His power, and with that power operating through us, He allows us to act in these ways. He produces in us the fruit of the Spirit as we depend upon Him. Will you do that? Will you acknowledge your sin? Will you yield your life to Jesus Christ? Will you live with a consciousness of God's presence and fill your mind with the Lord Jesus and His Word and depend upon His power? And things are going to be a whole lot happier at your house as this fruit begins to grow. This love and joy and peace, this patience and kindness and goodness, this faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Let's pray. Father, thanks for showing us how to live. Some of us have been Christians for years and years, and yet we haven't really grabbed hold of these very basic truths. We are not really demonstrating the fruit of Your Spirit. Help us, we pray. People around us are watching. They want to see something that's real, something that helps people be different, something that brings true joy and satisfaction. Help us to show them, we pray. May our families demonstrate the fruit of Your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.